This is Jordan Sekula. We have breaking news on the shooting attack on Republican members of Congress and their staff outside Washington, D.C. and Alexandria, Virginia.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hello and welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. On a difficult morning with news to report, our president has spoken on this shooting incident in Alexandria, Virginia, just across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C., where Republican members of Congress, including the House Majority Whip, the third-ranking member of Congress, who had Capitol Hill police with him, who was shot, Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana. He has been in surgery, reported by the president and the news, is in stable condition. There was also a staff person for a congressman, Zach Barth, someone actually I worked with, my wife worked with closely, and another one of our staff members of the ACLJ worked with closely on a presidential campaign last year. He then went to go on to work for a congressman from Texas. He worked for Congressman Roger Williams of Texas, who also confirmed he is also supposed to be doing okay. I mean, I put all of this again in the statement of the moment. Steve Scalise suffered tough enough wounds that he had to be airlifted. I mean, there was some imagery coming out of this. This was a targeted attack. If you were just kind of getting back up to speed, you probably saw this news this morning. The shooter has been named and identified. It's an Illinois man, 66 years old, James Hodgkinson. This appears to be a completely politically motivated shooting, not random, that it was Republican members of Congress. So it was not just on politicians generally, but specifically targeted at Republican members of Congress. I think that it does show that these motivations can become political. At the same time, I do want to say that, you know, the rhetoric that he used, the protest that he engaged in, is fairly typical for people on both sides of the aisle. His may have been, you know, somewhat more extreme leading up to this attack. But at the same time, I think it's more of a reminder that we can have tough political rhetoric, policy disagreements and discussions and debates, and not turn that into personal attacks and actual attacks. But what we have this morning, thankfully, is that that attacker is dead. That was announced by the President of the United States. That is the latest news. What we also know is that he was not able to, thankfully, and at this time it appears that that will remain the case, to kill anyone. Even though it was described as an event that if those police, Capitol Hill police and the Alexandria police, who responded within about 3 minutes, had not been there to fire back, that this could have been a, quote, massacre of members of Congress and their staff. And I think it was over 20 members of Congress, both from the House and the Senate, all Republicans. So this was a targeted attack at Republican members of Congress and their staff. The attack is over. It is involved one individual, it appears, and he has been killed by the police. And again, whether that's the Capitol Hill police, I think what we want to do right now is just ask everybody to be in prayers, as our president said, for the Capitol Hill police, for Congressman Steve Scalise, the majority whip, for that staffer, Zach Barth, I know, but my wife and one of our other staff members, ACLJ, worked with even more closely during a presidential campaign. Again, for any others who may be injured, but also, and I think for everybody who was there, they all need our prayers, for these members of Congress. They witnessed something and were part of something horrible. I mean, when you hear the report out of Senator Paul, Rand Paul, and his experience there, you understand that these are people who have gone through something very shocking. You can understand the impact this has on their families. These are real people. They are not just politicians that you see on television commenting and debating. They are real people with families and children, some who had their children there today. So we need to be in prayer for our nation. We'll take your phone calls on it as well. 1-800-684-3110, Logan.
That's right. You can also join us on social media. Find us at facebook.com/JSecular or Periscope. But again, phone lines are open for your comments. 1-800-684-3110.
The Supreme Court is now poised to consider President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe. The order temporarily pauses entry into the United States of refugees and nationals from six unstable or terrorism-infested countries. The ACLJ has just filed critical briefs at the Supreme Court, urging the justices to back the president's executive order. And we've heard from nearly 240,000 Americans who stand with us to defend our national security. This is a critical time in the fight against terrorism, and the president's executive order is essential in keeping America safe. Add your name to our committee to defend our national security from terror. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Folks, thanks for joining us. We have had, thankfully, an attack which has not been deadly for any victims. It has been deadly for the attacker, and it was our President of the United States, President Trump, who just moments ago issued this statement from the White House live on camera. I want to play it in full for everybody because you may have missed this, but if you're joining us now on Facebook and Periscope, I think the President's statement was exactly where we all need to be as a country. And it also broke the news that the shooter, the attacker in this attack on our members of Congress, that he has been killed. Let's take a listen. This is the President of the United States addressing the nation just moments ago.
This morning, a gunman opened fire on members of Congress and their staffs as they were practicing for tomorrow's annual charity baseball game. Authorities are continuing to investigate the crime, and the assailant has now died from his injuries. The FBI is leading the investigation and will continue to provide updates as new information becomes available. Congressman Steve Scalise, a member of House leadership, was shot and badly wounded and is now in stable condition at the hospital, along with two very courageous Capitol police officers. At least two others were also wounded. Many lives would have been lost if not for the heroic actions of the two Capitol police officers who took down the gunman despite sustaining gunshot wounds during a very, very brutal assault. Melania and I are grateful for their heroism and praying for the swift recovery of all victims. Congressman Scalise is a friend and a very good friend. He's a patriot and he's a fighter. He will recover from this assault. And Steve, I want you to know that you have the prayers not only of the entire city behind you, but of an entire nation, and frankly, the entire world. America is praying for you, and America is praying for all of the victims of this terrible shooting. I spoke with Steve's wife, Jennifer, and I pledged to her our full and absolute support. Anything she needs, we're with her. and with the entire Scalise family. I have also spoken with Chief Matthew Verderosa. He's doing a fantastic job of the Capitol Police to express our sympathies for his wounded officers and to express my admiration for their courage. Our brave Capitol Police perform a challenging job with incredible skill, and their sacrifice makes democracy possible. We also commend the brave first responders from Alexandria Police Fire and Rescue who rushed to the scene. Everyone on that field is a public servant. Our courageous police, our congressional aides who work so tirelessly behind the scenes with enormous devotion, and our dedicated members of Congress who represent our people. We may have our differences, but we do well in times like these to remember that everyone who serves in our nation's capital is here because, above all, they love our country. We can all agree that we are blessed to be Americans, that our children deserve to grow up in a nation of safety and peace, and that we are strongest when we are unified and when we work together for the common good. Please take a moment today to cherish those you love and always remember those who serve and keep us safe. God bless them all. God bless you. And God bless America.
I thought it was important to play, just in case you had missed that. It was just moments ago. It was about 20 minutes before our broadcast. The President of the United States, his full remarks about this incident. Thankfully, again, as of this moment, no one of the victims have been killed. Appears a assault rifle was used in this situation. The attacker has been killed. It appears to be very clearly politically motivated. Because of the statements, you could go now to social media, find out a lot about people. He's 66 years old from Illinois, but had moved into the Alexandria area. Asked specifically if this, who was playing here, is it? And then said, is it Republicans or Democrats? When he found out it was the Republicans, it appears that he decided to attack. This includes an attack on the third-ranking member of the United States Congress. We get a report actually from one of our staff members who is close with. As I had said, my wife Anna and one of our new staff actually at ACLJ in our Washington, D.C. office worked more closely with someone that I knew that was attacked. Part of this attack who was shot, Zach Barth, who works for a congressman. This is news out there, so I'm not sharing his name without it already being public. But he has told his good friend who works with us that he thinks that he could be released later today. So that is a good news. Let's pray for all of those who have been injured. There were kids there. Congressmen had their 10-year-olds there. They have witnessed something horrendous. So Steve Scalise, if you see the imagery that was shown, it was airlifted out. Again, this was for everybody involved, those injured, those who are going through surgery, the police officers, and those who were there have witnessed something horrific, shocking. And I think it's something that's on the minds of many of these members of Congress often when they're at these town halls. Some are more well-known than others. Some of these members of Congress that you'll see today, you'll recognize as regulars from television and being on broadcasts like ours. Others, remember, there are 535 when you include both the House and the Senate. They are not all regulars on cable news. And yet they are well-known usually in their communities. To some extent, they do public events, and we know that the partisan rhetoric has gotten very extreme.
Absolutely. There are some phone calls coming in and comments coming in as well. Let's go to Diane, who's calling in Seattle, Washington, online too.
Hi. Praise God that nobody got killed in this incident. And I just want to know, what can we do to come together to address our society's ills? We are just so spread out about feelings and what's going on in the White House. And Mr. Secular, I understand that you are a man of God And you're also on the president's council. Maybe a daily prayer with the president would help.
Listen, our dad's in Washington, D.C. right now. He's in his meetings.
You know what he's doing? Yeah.
Yep. That's him. That's not me. That is part of the president's legal team. I want to go to Than Bennett. Because I think, Diane, listen, I mean, on the one hand, we all need to come together in prayer. That's what the president said. Second, politics will not be any less divisive tomorrow. It's still a decision between ideologies and policies and debates. But then there has been a level of rhetoric and divisiveness in our country that has not subsided since the election. I think maybe that's the difference. It usually reaches these pinnacle points where the country gets very divided. And we know that it's a divided country politically, but the divisions are kind of out there. And then an election happens, the results come out, and people for the most part move on. And we kind of have seen this political division continue on through the election. I think that that's something different, and the rhetoric remain at a heightened level.
Yeah, Jordan, I think it has sustained longer than normal. I would just remind the caller, look, vigorous political debate is actually a very important hallmark of a free society. If you look around the world at places where speech is suppressed, those are the places where you have more violence, where you have more problems within the ranks of society. So I think we have to be very careful to point out that the answers to this type of situation is not to suppress speech. I would suggest, and I think maybe this is where the caller was heading, we do need a renewed sense that, look, we're all created equal. We are all endowed by our Creator, as our founding documents say, with a certain sense of fundamental rights. So we don't all have to agree, Jordan. In fact, the ability to disagree is central to our freedom. We just have to be able to disagree without resorting to this type of thing. This type of thing, Jordan, suppresses all of our freedom. So let's focus our attention on the right things here. It's not a suppression of speech that is the answer to these things.
And Diane, to, how do we come together quickly? I think, Than, because of your work on Capitol Hill, the report right now from news sources is that the baseball game, the reason why these members of Congress, we probably should explain, why are they practicing baseball as a partisans, as Republicans, and the Democrats were practicing too, is they have their congressional baseball game tomorrow, Than, which is a Republican versus Democrats. We'll talk about that more when we come back. But it's a fundraising charity event, actually, at the Washington National Stadium. I think we have an image. We can show this as we go to break for our Facebook and Periscope viewers. This is the Democrats. They were practicing today as well. They came together in prayer. I think that's a reminder when they heard the news, because these are their colleagues and friends. They're able to put that rhetoric aside. I think it's sometimes tougher for the average folks who get involved in this to do that. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The Supreme Court is now poised to consider President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe. The order temporarily pauses entry into the United States of refugees and nationals from six unstable or terrorism-infested countries. The ACLJ has just filed critical briefs at the Supreme Court, urging the justices to back the president's executive order. And we've heard from nearly 240,000 Americans who stand with us to defend our national security. This is a critical time in the fight against terrorism, and the president's executive order is essential in keeping America safe. Add your name to our committee to defend our national security from terror. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online
aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Secchio Live. Dan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, is addressing Congress right now. We played that for some of our Facebook and Periscope audience. We're going to play that for you as well so that you can hear it. Dan, the reports are, as of now, because there's been a talk about, you know, what do we do next? Reports are that the game may, in fact, go on tomorrow, which I think would be a strong, you know, as long as they feel like the security is there and that people are able to, you know, still participate in a way that may be a way. That these are the news reports we're seeing that it shows that, you know, Republicans and Democrats, they take this game very seriously, but it's a charity fundraiser.
Well, Jordan, I think if they can secure it, they should continue to play. Look, the security is going to be an issue. They do have to make sure they put wraps on that. But look, it raises funds for underprivileged kids in Washington, D.C. I've been to this game many times. My former boss has played in it. Jordan, and to the last caller's point, this is one of the few areas in Washington, D.C., one of the few opportunities where they can show bipartisanship. You showed the picture going into the break of the Democrat team that's practicing for this game tomorrow, stopping and praying. Jordan, they were practicing just a few blocks away, so there are some reports that some of them could actually hear the attack as it happened. And I think, again, it's what we talked about going into the break. The answer to these situations is not to set aside our differences, because that vigorous debate is important for furthering public policy, but we have to recognize the humanity that exists behind people that we might disagree with. So the statements you're seeing on the floor from Speaker Ryan, I believe Nancy Pelosi is going to go next. I think that's a good start. And look, they do have to make sure security is in place for tomorrow, but if they can do that, I think the game going forward would be a good sign.
It appeared from the Speaker of the House and the President's remarks, you know, initially we were hearing that there were four people injured and then the shooter killed. He named five individuals. So it appears that there are five people who have been injured in this attack. One of the more serious appears to be the majority whip, Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana. Though we hear reports that he was able to speak to his wife, that he was in good spirits before he went into surgery, that he was, quote, stable, is what the President of the United States said as well. We could take some phone calls on this, folks. And again, if you want to talk to us, it's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Bob in Savannah, Georgia, on line five. Bob, thanks for joining us today. Bob, you there? Looks like Bob is not there. So let's try to go to Will in New York on line three. Hi, Will.
How you doing? Thanks for having me. Basically, what I want to say is that the rhetoric, the partisan rhetoric, has caused the media frenzy, which is causing unstable people in this country to act out improperly, get violent. I've seen a lot of militant-type stuff going on from both sides, but the liberals are really out of control. And this is just, I feel, the head of the pin. I mean, this has to stop, and I think the media has a lot to do with it. And as Christians, I believe we really need to wake up and pray and really unite against this type of violence that's going on. And also in the political realm, I mean, it's not going to stop. This is like a third world now. It's really out of control, and I pray that, you know, people just wisen up and just really be safe out there. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
Ridiculous.
Well, I mean, this is the point I think we're at, Will. And I think it's important to read this statement. So Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who ran for president, has acknowledged that the Virginia shooter targeting these Republican members of Congress, as he said, he apparently volunteered on his presidential campaign, the shooter did, and that he's sickened by the despicable act. You know, rhetoric is something that, Than, in the United States, we've seen these incidents. They do occur, not often, but occasionally, where you see attacks on politicians because of their specific political beliefs. It's not totally, it's not the first time ever. Obviously, we've had presidents assassinated. And that being said, we're able to usually come back together as a nation very quickly and get to work. That doesn't mean we'll agree on all of the cities. But you were also going to talk about this area in Alexandria, Virginia, briefly. I mean, I think you said you were there in that area last night.
Yeah, well, I mean, first, let me just say, Jordan, you know this, but I pretty passionate about contending for our faith and for public policy at the same time. So I want to be very careful that people don't think they have to walk away from engaging these issues. That's not the answer here. But yes, I actually think we're pretty fortunate, Jordan, that there were not more people around and bystanders injured here, because this area, this is a Delray neighborhood. My family and I had dinner there last night. My kids play soccer at this complex. And this is a neighborhood where there's a lot of families around and would have been a lot of people around. So I really think it's by the grace of God that there were shots being fired for a scope of maybe 10 minutes. Reports are 50 to 100 shots, and not a single person lost their life. Jordan, I don't think there's much another word that can be ascribed to that other than miraculous. So for that, I think today we need to be very grateful.
This is very unique, Logan, that we've gotten a full statement like this from Bernie Sanders. I mean, I read some of it, but now I'm holding it in my hand for our Facebook and Periscope audience. Obviously, this individual may have been described as a volunteer, but was someone well known to the campaign.
Yeah.
Because he issued this fairly long statement. Usually you would say, listen, you know, it's someone that volunteered on the campaign.
I don't know everyone.
We don't know these folks. And obviously, you know, you
don't
support what they do. Right.
That, yeah.
But instead he said, this is from Senator Bernie Sanders, quote, in his written statement, I've just been informed that the alleged shooter at the Republican baseball practice is someone who apparently volunteered on my presidential campaign. I'm sickened by this despicable act. Let me be as clear as I can be. Violence of any kind is unacceptable in our society, and I condemn this action in the strongest possible terms. Real change can only come about through nonviolent action, and anything else runs against our most deeply held American values. My hopes and prayers are that Representative Scalise, congressional staff, and the Capitol Police officers who were wounded make a quick and full recovery. I also want to thank the Capitol Police for their heroic actions to prevent a further harm. So again, that was a full statement from U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders, because this shooter who has been killed linked to his campaign. And Logan,
right?
I think that's actually a bit unusual that Senator Sanders has felt like he needed to issue that statement, because maybe they know that this was someone who's going to come out as being very actively
right,
involved.
So maybe they just want to get out in front of it. Say, all right, we know it's going to hit the news that not only is this person who's clearly on his social
lots
media,
of pictures and
a Bernie
stuff like
Sanders
that.
Supporter. Yeah, I mean, every other picture was Bernie. But someone who actively worked in the campaign and volunteered. And like you said, there are thousands of people that work in these campaigns.
Yeah.
Thousands of volunteers. That's how it works.
But there are some volunteers who are
sort of the top volunteers.
Yeah.
So our questions will be like what his relationship was with that campaign. However, I think this was him just getting out in front of it.
Yeah. So
it's not the news story tonight.
Do we have the sound from Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan? All right. Now we'll play that in a minute. Logan, let's take some more calls.
All right. We only got a minute to break. We can take a quick call, though. Let's go to Janet, who is calling in Seattle, Washington.
Hi, Janet.
Yes. Thank you for your work. My prayers are going out to the injured elected officials and police. But I think maybe it's time for people in the arts to think about how far they take depicting murder of elected officials, people like Kathy Griffin and the Shakespeare in the Park, showing a Trump-like figure.
Those specific acts.
You know, I think it's a wake-up call for a lot of them. You know, I don't think we should be necessarily, you know, there's a line
anything.
Of censorship in art and how that can be done. But I do think it's a wake-up call to a lot of the people that say, yeah, maybe we shouldn't. Just like, you know, everyone, when it was the mass shootings in school, how the video game companies started to react upon that. I think it's very similar to this.
Yeah.
You start almost getting things in people's heads, regardless of it's your free speech
right
or not.
Well, these depictions aren't random. They're not like, it's not like a movie where a fake president or, you know, a fake. These are real people that are being depicted as in these horrific things. I think that there is a point that can be made there. One thing that we could all do is reject that. You know, we would not censor it, but just say no to it. And that's been done to some extent to that play. When we come back on Jay Sekulow Live, we'll bring you more updates on this attack.
Yep, join us on Facebook.
The Supreme Court is now poised to consider President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe. The ACLJ has just filed critical briefs at the Supreme Court, urging the justices to back the president's executive order. This is a critical time in the fight against terrorism. The president's executive order is essential in keeping America safe. Add your name to our committee to defend our national security from terror. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I know some watch on Facebook and Periscope saw bits of this as we broke into it during one of our breaks. But for those of you on the radio broadcast, I wanted to play for you the full statement from Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. This is on the floor of the United States House of Representatives in Congress just moments ago. Take a listen.
My colleagues, there are very strong emotions throughout this House today. We are all horrified by this dreadful attack on our friends and on our colleagues and those who serve and protect this Capitol. We are all praying for those who are attacked and for their families. Steve Scalise, Zachary Barth, Matt Micah, Special Agent David Bailey, Special Agent Crystal Griner. We are all giving our thoughts to those currently being treated for their injuries at this moment. And we are united. We are united in our shock. We are united in our anguish. An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. I know we want to give our thanks to the first responders and to the Alexandria Police Department who are on the scene in minutes. And I know this House wants to state unequivocally that we are, as ever, awed by the tremendous bravery of the Capitol Police. I spoke with Special Agent Bailey and Special Agent Griner this morning. One was being treated and one was about to go into surgery. I expressed our profound gratitude to them. It is clear to me, based on various eyewitness accounts, that without these two heroes, Agent Bailey and Agent Griner, many lives would have been lost. I know that we all want to learn as much as we can about what happened. We just all received a briefing from the Sergeant of Arms. I have complete confidence in the investigation that's being conducted by the Capitol Police, the FBI, who are also working with local law enforcement. I know we want to extend our gratitude for the outpouring of support that we've received from throughout the Capitol and from throughout the country. And now, knowing Steve Scalise, as we all do, he is likely really frustrated that he's not going to be able to play in the baseball game. I also know that Steve wants all of us to commend the bravery of those who came to the aid of the wounded. In the coming days, we will hear their stories, and we will have the chance to hold up their heroism. My colleagues, there are so many memories from this day that we will want to forget, and there are so many images that we will not want to see again. But there is one image in particular that this House should keep, and that is a photo I saw this morning of our Democratic colleagues gathered in prayer this morning after hearing the news. You know, every day we come here to test and to challenge each other. We feel so deeply about the things that we fight for and the things that we believe in. At times, our emotions can clearly get the best of us. We're all imperfect. But we do not shed our humanity when we enter this chamber. For all the noise and all the fury, we are one family. These were our brothers and sisters in the line of fire. These were our brothers and sisters who ran into danger and saved countless lives. So before this House returns to its business, let's just slow down and reflect, to think about how we're all being tested right now, because we are being tested right now. I ask each of you to join me to resolve to come together, to lift each other up, and to show the country, to show the world, that we are one House, the people's House, united in our humanity. It is that humanity which will win the day, and it always will. God bless. I yield.
That being said, we'll be back in just a moment with more coverage on what is going on in the Washington, D.C. area. We do have some phone lines open. We want your opinions, your feedback, and your questions related to this matter. 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today on the air. You can also find us broadcasting online during the breaks, even on Facebook.com/JaySekulow or on Periscope. We're right back with more.
The Supreme Court is now poised to consider President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe. The order temporarily pauses entry into the United States of refugees and nationals from six unstable or terrorism-infested countries. The ACLJ has just filed critical briefs at the Supreme Court, urging the justices to back the president's executive order. And we've heard from nearly 240,000 Americans who stand with us to defend our national security. This is a critical time in the fight against terrorism, and the president's executive order is essential in keeping America safe. Add your name to our committee to defend our national security from terror. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
There's been a politically motivated attack on members of Congress, their staff, Capitol Hill police who have been injured. No fatalities, thankfully, at this time. The shooter has been killed. And this shooter has been identified as a 66-year-old male from Illinois, a Bernie Sanders supporter. Bernie Sanders has put out a statement about this because obviously reports that he volunteered for his campaign. Pretty tough rhetoric against President Trump, specifically on his Facebook page. That's not so shocking these days to see people using tough political rhetoric. But he took that into the wrong kind of action, violence, and targeted Republicans specifically. Why were they at a baseball field? Let me go to Thambit, our director of government affairs, because this may be slightly unusual for people if they're trying to figure, kind of wrap their heads around this. Why were there 20 plus members of Congress, the House and the Senate, all Republicans and some of their staff at a baseball field at 7 a.m. In Arlington, in Alexandria, Virginia? Than, explain to people what they were preparing for and why they were out on the fields practicing.
Yeah, it's a bipartisan annual tradition, Jordan, a charity baseball game where the Republican elected officials play against the Democrat elected officials. The beneficiaries are underprivileged kids in Washington, D.C., mainly focused to boost literacy. So it's one of the most popular bipartisan things that happens here. And again, Jordan, the Democrat team was playing, practicing just a few blocks away. All indications are that game will go on tomorrow. And the other thing I think important to point out here, Jordan, and you heard both the president and Speaker Ryan mention this, I think this would have been a lot worse had Congressman Steve Scalise not been present because, again, he was the only one with security detail present, and all indications are his security detail were the ones that kept the shooter at bay and ultimately put him down. Had they not been there, I think it was Senator Paul Jordan who used the word massacre. He said it would have been a massacre without those two security detail there.
And Senator Paul was there. I think he was in a batting cage is kind of how it's been reported. I mean, he would know, folks, the sense that, as Than said, it just so happened that because Steve Scalise was there and he is a GOP, he's a leader in the House of Representatives, because of his leadership position, he has a police detail, security detail, Capitol Hill Police. There were immediately then officers there ready to return fire. I mean, this was a situation that was ongoing too. Not over and done in 60 seconds. I believe it was up to 10 minutes long The shooter ultimately was killed. We don't know if he was killed by Capitol Hill police or the Alexandria police that ultimately also arrived on the scene. Let me just say, everyone should be in prayers for these members of Congress, specifically Congressman Scalise from Louisiana and his family. One of the staff members for the congressman, a congressman out of Texas who was there, who was shot as well. I know my wife worked with more closely, as well as one of our new staff members, the ACLJ in D.C. He has been identified, Zach Barth, and has let one of our team members know that he thinks that he will be released later on today. That's good news. There are a total of five injured, so it's two police officers, one former congressional staffer, one current congressional staffer, that would be Zach Barth, and then the House Majority Whip, again, Steve Scalise. So let's be in prayer for all of them and their families, and for all those members of Congress. One of the members of Congress had their 10-year-old kid there with them.
Yeah,
they witnessed something horrendous today, and you know, I think you could see when we played the soundbite from Paul Ryan, and he's another one of those members of Congress that has a decent security detail. That being said, most do not. Out of those 535 senators and members of the House of Representatives, Stan, only a handful have a security with them at all times. Most, you know, sometimes at big events, they might have someone locally, you know, at a town hall meeting, some local security, but they do not travel with security. I think sometimes people would imagine they all get it. At the same time, many of these folks are people that would walk by on the street, even for people who watch politics closely, you would not be able to identify. That's why this shooter, apparently, Than, asked one of these members of Congress who was leaving to make sure that this was the Republicans he was shooting at, because the Democrats were practicing not far away.
People were asking that on social media. How did they know that it was a Republican?
He asked it. So some of the, Than, the report is that there were some members of Congress that had to leave the practice early for meetings on Capitol Hill. And he came up to them and just asked, you know, who's practicing here? And they said, you know, it's congressional baseball. And he said, is it Republicans or Democrats? They said Republicans. And that was obviously the trigger for him to then attack this group. But the Democrats were close by. But they, right. So that's how he knew these were the Republicans.
Yeah, that question was asked of Ron DeSantis of Florida. The officials have declined to confirm that it was the same individual, but Jordan, multiple people have now said they do believe it was the same person that asked that question and committed the crime. Obviously, we'll know for sure down the road, but certainly someone was inquiring to make sure that it was Republicans on the field. And Jordan, I just want to make one follow-up comment on the point you made about security. Taxpayers only provide security for a very few select members of Congress. They are allowed to pay out of their own pocket, but Jordan, many of these people are not people of individual wealth, and so they cannot afford that kind of expense. Look, there is going to be a real debate on whether or not taxpayers should be providing some security for elected officials. Look, I, for one, this is not the ACLJ, this is me, I think that is a worthwhile investment for taxpayers. I'll just say this, if you put the entire federal budget on the table, there are so many things that are eliminated. I think we should be in providing some security for members of Congress. Again, not a position of the ACLJ, but it's something we need to look at, because this individual certainly knew that he could be targeting, in essence, what are sitting ducks. Thank goodness a member of leadership was there and there were security detail to fire back.
Yeah. All right. Logan, do we have phone calls or comments coming in that you want to go to?
Yeah, we can take a phone call. If you want to call in, if you have your opinion, 1-800-684-3110. I know a lot of you guys are listening right now for news coverage, but if you have something you want to say, we'd be happy to have you on the air. That's at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Frank, who's calling in Los Angeles, California, on line two.
Jordan, hi. First of all, my prayers out to those involved, our elected officials, and to our country that we all love. I just wanted to, my comment is that I hope that the Democrats would wake up, because it seems to me that this is the fruit that's being poured out, you know, from all their rhetoric and all their opposition towards our president, and I hope that they can start showing action and lead by example, demonstrating to the people as elected officials what it is to be a true leader and working along with the right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are times to come together. That does not mean that because of this, they all need to agree and give up on their principles,
right?
Their policies and why they were elected. They were elected by constituents because of the policy positions they have. You know, some of these members of Congress have strong personalities. Many of them, though, it really does come down to it's where they are on the issues. It's how people made up their mind. They shouldn't give that up. I think that coming together, work together, they can work on their own individual rhetoric. I think that that's true. You know, it's one thing for all of us. I think, Than, they do have a duty to watch the way that they describe their colleagues, not the policies, but the way they describe the motivations of their colleagues. I think that's if you could just take out the fact that, you know, I know that the liberals, they like the bigger government. They like higher taxes. It's not disparaging to say that. But if I say that they want to do that because they want to destroy our country, that takes it a step further. And then you've seen, there's rhetoric that goes much further than that. And that is probably, you know, one issue that can be addressed. That will be up to, though, all of us as well. That doesn't mean that, you know, back tomorrow or next week, we're not going to be back to, you know, fighting it out on health care, fighting it out on the travel issue at the Supreme Court, fighting against Islamic terrorism and that threat that poses. You can't give up on any of these issues, Than, because of this. And, you know, you may take a day, as we have on this broadcast, to kind of pause and reflect. But then you do have to get back to work.
Jordan, I think there are two sides of this to keep in mind. First of all, we should say clearly, it is okay to have a strongly held public policy position. You should engage for those issues. That's what a free society is. But Jordan, in order to effectively engage for those issues, you know what else you need? You need real relationships with people that disagree with you. That does two things. It gives you the humanity of those people you disagree with. And Jordan, it also gives you an opportunity to advance your own ideas by actually convincing them that your ideas have merit. The answer is not to seclude yourself only to people you agree with. And Jordan, it's also not to not have strongly held ideas. That is what a free society is. So have real issues, have real positions, but then also engage with people in a real way who do not agree with you.
And we've heard from, again, the President of the United States. We've heard from Speaker Paul Ryan, Nancy Pelosi's address as well. The governor of Virginia was on the site as well. He's gotten a little bit of criticism as well because he brought up the guns issue immediately, of course, in that debate instead of focusing in on the moment. There were Republican members who responded immediately, said that they were there and this doesn't affect their position at all on Second Amendment. And I don't think that this is not the right day for that discussion. We'll be back very shortly here on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The Supreme Court is now poised to consider President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe. The order temporarily pauses entry into the United States of refugees and nationals from 6 unstable or terrorism-infested countries. The ACLJ has just filed critical briefs at the Supreme Court, urging the justices to back the president's executive order. And we've heard from nearly 240,000 Americans who stand with us to defend our national security. This is a critical time in the fight against terrorism, and the president's executive order is essential in keeping America safe. Add your name to our committee to defend our national security from terror. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. At a time when these members of Congress, and the Republicans and Democrats, were having separate practices, but probably just out there having a lot of fun. They do take this game seriously. You had a top-ranking Republican out on the field in the practice. This was getting ready for tomorrow night's fundraiser baseball game between the Republicans and Democrats, the congressional baseball game. It raises money for D.C. area kids and those in need. And so the Republicans play the Democrats. They do practice because they do take it somewhat serious. I think one of the members of Congress said, you know, they want to make sure they're not embarrassing themselves out there more than necessary when they try to take part in this game. And a lot of them have actually sports backgrounds. It's not that uncommon. But because you had Steve Scalise and the images coming out of this, I'm glad he was able to contact his wife. And I'm glad that the president was able to make the statement he did, because if you see the images of him as he gets airlifted, it does not look good. But we're being told he's in stable condition. I think you need to continue to be in prayer. These are still changing situations. The scene has been secured. Right. We know how many people have been injured, 5. We know that no one has been killed except for the shooter. So he has been killed. He is a 66-year-old liberal activist, Bernie Sanders supporter, who apparently did this directly because he was targeting Republicans. Because Steve Scalise was there, there were Capitol Hill police, because he's a member of the leadership of the Republican Party in the House. So he has a police detail. Let's take a listen. This is the audio. Senator Sanders taking this seriously. He's now issued an audio statement as well. Take a listen.
Madam President, I have just been informed that the alleged shooter at the Republican baseball practice this morning is someone who apparently volunteered on my presidential campaign. I am sickened by this despicable act, and let me be as clear as I can be. Violence of any kind is unacceptable in our society, and I condemn this action in the strongest possible terms.
So again, that's Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Became more famous, if you will, after running for president for the Democrat nomination. He's obviously felt the need to come out and condemn this. He's one who uses pretty tough rhetoric, but again, he has that right to do so. There's some rhetoric that I think has crossed the line to some extent. That's not unusual in our political dialogue. Let's take those calls that we do have in, and Logan, if there's comments as well.
Sure.
In this final,
yeah, we have some comments too. Heather's calling in Stuart, Florida, on line 6. Heather, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, thank you for your work. First of all, my thoughts and prayers are with the 5 who were injured today, and certainly those who were also traumatized,
yes,
by what they witnessed. I was speaking with my family this morning about how we, being the average American citizen, can address the division and, frankly, just the outright hatred, it seems, that is incredibly prevalent. Often in my own social media, I simply scroll by when I see rhetoric and ridiculous, yep, comments that are dehumanizing or demoralizing our country's leaders. And that's something that's going to change. I'm not going to just ignore those now. I'm going to speak up. I can have a healthy, respectful dialogue and say, hey, this isn't okay. You know, this isn't who we are as Americans. And I think for me, that's one small way that I can hopefully start helping the wheels change, start helping people remember who we are as Americans and that this is not a representation of what we are about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think too, Heather, you can have a real difference on how you want the healthcare system in our country run, and that shouldn't get to violence. You know, a different policy difference. Now, I will say this. I think it's fair. When you start accusing a presidential party, the president's party and his campaign, of only being in the White House because of Russian involvement, that takes the rhetoric to a whole nother level. I mean, and I think that triggers people, and that terminology is specific, I mean, to act in ways which go even further than just extreme rhetoric. But the sense is, no one should be killing each other over healthcare policy or tax policy. It's debates that we should have. We can have vigorous debates in our country, and we will continue to have those vigorous debates in our country. And this shouldn't mean that you roll over on issues that you care about. At the same time, I do want people out there, you know, as the show is coming to a close today, a few minutes left. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, we can go to some comments as well. But just be in prayer for these members of Congress. They have witnessed something horrendous. Yeah. Some of their children were there. Their staff, there are people who are in surgery right now, police officers in surgery. I mean, people need to be in prayer.
I think this comment from B says that all this is with so many members of Congress in place, should there have been more security in place? And I think that's what we're going to see now moving forward is
yep.
You start realizing that you're very vulnerable to a lot of these things. People asked if they were publicly announced and no. If that's something. No, it's just what happens.
They had to ask. You know, the shooter had to ask. He didn't know by looking at them. If these were Republicans or Democrats, I'm not even sure he knew exactly that they were definitely the congressman. He was living in the area for a time period. He may have gotten some indication about this. Than most members of Congress. I mean, I remember when Senator Obama, who then became President Obama, very quickly would just walk right past our office. We sometimes have Supreme Court justices sure. walk right past the office. No security. Most members of Congress have no security at all. And I think that you know, that will have to change to some extent, especially when there's any gatherings of them.
Well, a couple of things, Jordan. First of all, this is the field that the Republicans have practiced on for a number of years. So if the shooter was targeting them, as it appears that he was, that would have been information he would have been able to discover. And then obviously it appears that he confirmed it before he started shooting. On the second point, Jordan, look, this is my personal view. I think, yes, there should always be security when there are that many elected officials available. Look, the Democrats were just a mile down the road. They were vulnerable as well. There were 25 or 30 of them on the practice field as well. And look, as a constitutional republic, we the people elect our federal officials. I think there is a duty to make sure that they are secured. And I would just say, until that plan is in place, I think every member of Congress, every member of the House, every member of the Senate should look very carefully at using their own dollars to hire their own security. That's my personal view.
All right, let's take one more call for the day. Debbie in Wichita, Kansas, you're on the air on line three.
Hi, yes. First, I want to thank you for your show. I'm a regular follower, and I just want to tell you that your show is always great, but this has been one of the most unifying shows I've ever listened to. I love how you're really focusing on how both Democrat, liberals, conservative Republicans are pulling together and giving an example of what we should be as a nation. And I fall short of expecting either side to really control their speech. I think that they should be able to. There's threatening levels of speech that's what the police deal with. That's what law enforcement deals with and laws. But as for us, I enjoy that we're learning maybe to be able to express even violently different views, but remembering that humanity.
Debbie, let me say this. I think we can have strong disagreements in our country, and we all need to remember what our president said today. I want to go out playing this, and I appreciate everybody for being on the broadcast today and this special breaking news show.
We can all agree that we are blessed to be Americans, that our children deserve to grow up in a nation of safety and peace, and that we are strongest when we are unified and when we work together for the common good. Please take a moment today to cherish those you love and always remember those who serve and keep us safe. God bless them all. God bless you.
The Supreme Court is now poised to consider President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe. The ACLJ has just filed critical briefs at the Supreme Court, urging the justices to back the president's executive order. This is a critical time in the fight against terrorism. The president's executive order is essential in keeping America safe. Add your name to our committee to defend our national security from terror. Call now 1-877-989-2255. You can add your name online, ACLJ.